Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Prus. If you want to call in today, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And what? It's our last broadcast of the year. So I wanted to give you all the Everly Brothers. Is that it? Or was I waiting for Craig Compo, who is late, who just walked in, taking off all of his jackets? He looks like Lumberjack Craig.
Hey, how are you, Dave?
I'm doing great, buddy. How you doing?
Good. Yeah, it just occurred to me, that disclaimer. Whoops, let me turn this around.
Hang that, on. That plays on your...
No, the disclaimer that's on your... The opinions of those, you know, may not reflect the ownership and staff, but it usually does. I know these guys.
That's why they have us around.
Okay.
We reflect a very good philosophy.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, shake my hand. How you doing?
Doing well. Appreciate you coming in.
Sure.
You know, Fairbanks, about every 3 to 5 months, Craig Koppel comes in and tries to kick my backside with Fairbanks trivia. I do pretty good.
You do.
But, you know, but this is... Questions made up by Craig Compo.
Well, I just kind of threw a few together. I thought we'd have an interesting subject, what with the fir tannery burning down. So we're going to have a little trivia on Phillips Field and you know the Jess Bochner and those kind of pioneers and things. I just grabbed a couple of sheets. Haven't really looked at it that much, but just I love the aviation history in Fairbanks.
Yeah.
You do too.
Oh yeah,
it's so interesting. I mean, these guys were rugged individuals that
there's, you know, I always say they don't make them like they used to.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Go ahead. What's the first one?
Well,
I'm ready.
Okay,
go ahead.
I want to talk about Al a little bit later in the show and
you got
what
it.
We're doing. But so who was older, Jess Bochner or Urban Rehoy?
Oh man.
And I'm kind of guessing here, but the odds are really good I'm going to get this one right.
I'm going to say Urban Rehoy.
You're right. And Urban Rehoy, the only reason I think this is true, and Annie Bochner could tell, I don't know exactly when Jess Bochner, they were both born in 1919, but Urban was born January 7th. So the odds are pretty good that he's older than...
So one for me.
Yes,
one for me.
I'll count that one for
okay,
you.
Okay, one for me.
Okay. What was the name of Bochner Aircraft Service before it was Bochner Aircraft Service? And two of the words are the same.
Let's see. Jess Bochner Aircraft Service.
Well, it's just three words.
Jess Bochner Air Service?
No, it was just Fairbanks Air Service.
Fairbanks Air Service.
And his partners, Hugh House, Dave Phillips, Gordon Mitchell.
Phillips Field.
Yep, that's right. And they operated out of Weeks Field until it was closed, and then they had the opportunity to build Phillips Field.
That's Carol Phillips is after that.
Yeah, right. We'll ask. I'll talk about
that. Oh,
him
is that in there?
That's in here,
okay,
too. Yeah.
Okay. You get
some,
yeah.
Okay. And then, I'm not an expert by any means on aviation, so I'm just.
Neither am I.
I'm assuming most of the stuff.
Nor do we pretend to be one on the radio.
That's right. How many acres was the property owned by Carol Phillips, was it?
I'm going to say 160 because it was probably a, when you went there, you got patented land from the federal government,
okay.
You homestead. I'm going to say 160 acres.
Well, it says here the partners had an opportunity to build Phillips Field. The arduous task of converting 65 acres of forest owned by the Phillips family began in the spring of 1950. I guess that doesn't mean it was just 65 acres, but
no.
that they had to clear a lot of land.
I'm going to claim this one.
You're going to take that one.
Yeah, because you also had where a lot of the undeveloped area was that was not part of the runway, which is, you know, you have the Doyon property. That
sure.
That was Mr. Bullwinkle and then Carol Phillips.
Yeah.
So those were, and they both homesteaded.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Okay, let's see. Jess and his wife, Ann, operated out of Phillips Field for how many years? Is it 35, 41, or 42? Yeah, I'm making them tougher.
You're a jerk. Okay, let's see. They probably all moved over there in 1950.
Yeah.
And they sort of ended it about 1989, right in there, 1988. So I'm gonna say 37.
It was 42.
42.
I think that, yeah, no, it actually the last day it says that The last aircraft departed on the evening of April 15th, 1992.
What was the first one?
1950.
Okay.
Yeah, you got that one. You're doing pretty good, Dave.
Yeah, so I get a half one on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you'll get
you
half
and, one. And you know, it's interesting. The reason why they took it is because of course, the Johansson Expressway.
Yes, yeah.
Which is named after Woody Johansson.
Right.
Yeah, yep, yep. He ran the interior DOT for a couple decades.
Sure, did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so who was the pilot on that last flight in 1990, on May 31st, 1992? This was after the runway.
Was it a takeoff or a landing?
Let's see. It says the last flight from Phillips Field.
I'm going to say Urban Rehoy.
No, good guess, though. No, it was Chuck Gray.
Oh, okay.
Chuck Gray.
Hey, wow.
Yeah. And he was one of the most ardent protesters of closing the field.
Yeah.
And
he was the last
Yeah, it says here he told me that he flew his Piper Apache off the runway on May 31st, 92. Oh, a week later, the runway already torn up, he flew his Piper Super Cub off a hastily graded access road, the last flight from Phillips Field.
That's a heck of a pilot. That is a heck of a pilot.
You know, and I see Chuck over, you know, he has, I think once a week he has lunch over at Big Daddy's.
Yeah, you know, it's not, we have such a rich aviation history. You know, you think about Ben Eielson and the people like that, but no, even from the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah.
And to this day, you have such a rich history of aviation in the interior based out of Fairbanks, Alaska.
And there's a big move right now. I think I was talking to Richard Ween the other day on the phone, and they're trying to resurrect and the aviation museum, make it bigger and better,
yeah,
and all this stuff. And you know, it's been tough over the years because it's kind of fallen off, but I think it's really important to Fairbanks history,
mm-hmm,
to do that. And you know,
so do I we're both history buffs, especially,
yeah,
for Fairbanks.
Yeah Let's see, I had another one in here I wanted to
find. Want to stump me on?
Yeah, let's sure. See, oh, okay. Many of the operators in Weeks Field that couldn't afford to move over to the new airport, which, you know, where it is today, what was one of the biggest hesitations of moving over there? I mean, there were several. There was cost. There was distance. It was 8 miles from town or whatever.
There wasn't a road over there. They had to make a road.
Actually, it was federal overreach. They were like Vogler. They were really concerned about the government-funded airport would impose a bunch of regulations that they didn't want to.
You know, one of my favorite things I did at the city was when I first became mayor, you know, I walked in and you needed a new paint job inside.
Mm-hmm.
So we pulled down all the crap,
mm-hmm,
that was there on the walls. And then it took us a year, but what we did was we went through the different archives of photos and I got this really neat survey that's up on the wall upstairs, and it shows Weeks Field in about 1938.
Yeah.
And all the different hangars, Northern Consolidated, Pan American, Alaska Airlines, you know, just multiple, Ween Air Alaska, and it shows them all that were there and where they were at. Just, and I had that framed and put up on the wall upstairs.
Nice.
It just, what's one of my favorites. Just that history.
So here's a good one. I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was 1938, so it would have landed at Weeks Field.
Mm-hmm.
What pilot had lunch in 1938 with Mike Stepovich?
Oh, that would have been Howard Hughes.
Yeah, Howard Hughes.
I got another one.
Howard Hughes was in Fairbanks.
Yeah.
And had a coffee, and I forget when he had coffee with Mike Stepovich in 1938. I remember from my old trip.
I thought of Governor Stepovich this morning. When we were kids growing up and we got our first driver's license and we're, mm-hmm, driving around and we had wheels to ourselves, I always remember him walking to work in the morning, bundled up, no matter what the temperature was. And so when I moved into downtown Fairbanks, I said to myself, a lot of times when it's cold, I'm going to walk to work. I'm going to emulate.
Oh yeah.
What Governor Stepovich
did. Hey, wait a minute. He didn't have Gore-Tex and Thinsulate.
No, but he had the big down jacket,
yeah,
you know, and the hat and the gloves, sure, you know, and the boots.
Yeah.
And so this morning, I walked.
Let me guess. You had heated gloves.
No electric. But I walked to work and I took a photo in front of the Denali State Bank building, and I put it on Facebook. And I said, "It's only 19 below.
Yeah,
it's late December.
We're wimps compared to those guys."
But it made me think. Whenever I do that, it made me think of Governor Stepovich.
Yeah.
And he'd walked to work from over there off of
Ina Street,
Charles Street.
Yep.
Every day.
Yeah.
He walked to work. And I always remember that. And I always wanted to emulate that.
You know, who was the other big walker in Fairbanks, right? Who walked everywhere with the big rubber boots on? Bill Stroker.
Yeah.
Stroker would walk everywhere.
He walked out in the camp.
Oh, I know. I'll tell you a story once. Johnny Hajdukovic and I are driving our snow machines. It's like 10 or 15 below. We're going to go to our cabin on the Good Pasture. It was pretty cold.
You come across him walking.
We're walking. We're already, it's 6.5 miles from Quartz Lake to the Good Pasture, and then another 6.5 miles to our cabin. So we're about, I don't know, 4 miles into it, and it's just a trail where it's got a lot of trees over it and whatever. And we come around the corner, and here's this guy walking. I didn't even, I knew Stroker at the time, but I never thought it was him.
Yeah.
And I come up, and I stop next to him. And I said, Bill Stroker, I said, you need a ride in to your cabin? He's going to his cabin. He said, never been on one of those things, never will be. He goes, I'm good, kid. Go ahead.
Fairbanks, with a Stroker story, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Everyone at GCR Tires and Service, from the garage to the front counter and management, wish you and your family the happiest of holiday seasons and a safe, prosperous new year. Thank you for your business and your trust. GCR knows every time you drive your car or truck, you're putting trust in the performance of their products and service, and they don't take that lightly, and they look forward to serving you again. GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys, taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
Hey Fairbanks, Ben here with Auto Trim Design. For 39 incredible years, you've made us your go-to destination for all of your vehicle customization needs. And as the holiday season approaches, we want to take a moment to say thank you. Your loyalty and support have been our driving force. We couldn't have reached this milestone without your trust and patronage. And remember, at Auto Trim Design, we will be here when the other guys are gone. From all of us at Auto Trim Design, thank you, Fairbanks.
Happy Holidays!
Weather brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoors. Your next adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters. For your Alaskan lifestyle, it's Frontier Outfitters.
KFAR Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 18 below. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance for snow. Lows level off around 23 below. About an inch of snow tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Craig Compo in the studio with me. Now, Craig, I'm going to ask you a very specific question.
Yeah.
What color was your 1978 Z28?
NASA blue. I had it for 3 weeks until I wrecked it.
How long did you have it before you got your first ticket?
I didn't have my license plates on yet.
Yeah.
that car, you know, here's the deal.
That nefarious car.
My first car was a 69 Chevy Kingswood Estate station wagon.
I remember that. Yeah. Don't ask me how I remember that.
Yeah, crazy.
That was a party vehicle. Yeah. We loved that vehicle. You put seven of us in there. Let's go.
Yeah, that thing was crazy. It was my dad's old car. My mom and I hit a train with that car in 1969 on the old Steese. It's 40 below. We're coming from the house into town. There were no lights. There was ice fog to the ground. It was there, but it wasn't working.
Yeah.
There were no gates. The gates weren't working. The lights weren't working. The train horn didn't go off. And I remember this like it was yesterday. I'm nine. She saw the train coming from the right, and she slammed the brakes on and slid, and the nose went right onto the track just as the train hit us.
Wow.
And drug us. The car was 3 weeks old. Three-week-old, brand-new car. It drug us all the way down the tracks. I mean, the car was hooked onto. We went down past Trainer Gate, you know, whatever, and totaled it. Well, they fixed it. Aurora Motors actually fixed that car. It was never the same after that. But I remember my mom. We didn't have seat belts back then.
You just didn't use them.
69? I don't think so. Well, I don't remember. But, yeah, we weren't using them. But, anyway, she just threw her arm out with one hand because I was sitting next to her to prevent me from going into the dash. None of us got hurt. But, that was my first car. But my – oh, you got a call?
Yeah, but go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say my Z28, I saved up $6,820 from 1971 to 1978, paid for that car with cash, picked it up at Tip Top, wrecked it 3 weeks later.
Were you insured?
7 years, yeah. But 7 years, and that car was never the same after that wreck. They fixed it, but it wasn't the same.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Craig Compa, the infamous car crasher, and your name is?
Hey, my name is Eve.
Eve, how are you doing? And thank you for those wonderful cookies that you gave me. Wow.
Oh, you are welcome.
Still have some of those left. Man, those are good.
Okay. Now, before the year is out, and I wish you a very good new year, of course, I have a question for both you gentlemen.
Well, that's a wily term when you call me and Craig gentlemen. We're in the same room, but go ahead. We accept that.
All right. So you're talking about airlines of various kinds.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know which was the oldest commercial airline?
Commercial?
Was the one that preceded Alaska Airlines?
No, I would say commercial. You're probably looking at Harold Gillam, the original Harold Gillam, Ben Eielson. Those were small but commercial airlines. You know, they started here by 1925, 28, right in there.
Okay, you want an older one?
Well, give me an older one. Yeah, give me the oldest one. Give me the original.
The oldest one. All right, here it comes. KLM.
Oh, you're talking worldwide, national.
We were thinking
German.
We were thinking Fairbanks.
Oh, you're killing us. You're killing us, but that's cool. Yeah, KLM.
Right, Matschappe. October 7. So, recent October 7, it was celebrating its 104th birthday. So it's the only airline which is still flying under its the same name from the start.
So that's right after, World War One.
1919.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting, eh?
Very interesting. Hey, you have a great New Year's Eve. Thank you for the call.
Okay.
Bye, Eve. Thank you for the cookies. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it was 1913 was the first flight into Fairbanks,
yeah.
And also the first automobile. I think they drove from Valdez to Fairbanks was 1913, as I recall. Yeah, I mean the first vehicle that made it from Valdez to Fairbanks, as I remember. Huh.
Okay, what else is, you're looking hungrily at me with this trivia that you're going to.
Well, Carol Phillips, who passed away in 2021. He was 98. Something good in the water back then, the Urban Ray Hoy, Carol Phillips days. I mean, they
were hardy people.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. Yeah, they did. But so they moved, that family moved up to Fairbanks in 1937. I think they're trying to get into the Matanuska colony, and they settled in Moose Pass out of Kenai, but eventually went to Maine here for all 12 years. And
excuse me, went to the Fairbanks school.
Yes, the school, same one my dad went to. But anyway, so they moved here in 37. So what two catastrophes 30 years apart did they have to endure? Similar catastrophes.
67 was the flood.
Yeah. 37.
And so 1937, oh boy, I'm going to say probably a big fire.
No, it was the 1937 flood. There was a flood in 37 here.
There's a flood every year.
Well, this was a pretty bad one, but it wasn't bad as 67, but of course.
Where did you stay during the 67 flood?
So, you know where Jim McGoffin's house is there across from the old Exploded Dairy Queen?
Yeah.
That's where we stayed. That's where we lived.
Okay. And your boat shop was down there on the corner.
12th and Cushman, where Dick Randolph's place is. So we were there because I remember getting a shoulder ride from my house to my dad's store on my dad's shoulders. He had hip boots on, would walk across there. I was 7.
Yeah.
And I've told this story before, but I remember when he woke me up, and it's in that, if your listeners haven't seen the video Pete Van Ort did called City Underwater, it's phenomenal. I don't know if you can find it online, but it's such a great history of the flood. And they interviewed Jerry Cleworth and Dodson and Bill Burrows. I was interviewed a bunch of just people that had were at different ages. And I was 7. And we used to get to go, walk across. If we were good after dinner, we get to walk across and get a dilly bar or ice cream cone or whatever.
Yeah.
And we'd do that almost every night. So that was our treat.
Because your sisters were there, they made it all good.
I had a dilly bar twice in 11 years. No. No. Anyway, we lived across the street in the McGoffin's old house there. And I remember my dad waking me up on that day, 14th of August, I think it was 1967. And he says, "Hey, kid, look outside." And of course, our basement was full of water. And the water was going by the house slowly like a river right there. And he goes, what do you think? And my they reminded me for years, my response was, how are we going to get to the Dairy Queen? That was a seven-year-old kid's biggest priority.
I have a Jim McLaughlin story.
Oh, yeah.
He only pissed me off in life once.
Okay.
Just once. When I got the letter that he was retiring as an attorney. Oh. He was such a genteel, fine business. You know, he probably never saw the inside of a courtroom in his life. He was a business attorney.
Yeah.
Business things. Great guy. Great guy. And I got that letter. I gave him a call. You know how long it took me to find you?
Yeah.
He's a great guy. Great family. McLaughlin heir.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that goes back to the early Rahoy days of early aircraft and all that stuff.
Yeah, the flood for me was unique. You know, no one realized what was going to happen. And everyone thought, okay, we're just going to have a little flood. We'll all be done. And, you know, it all happened so fast within a week of the rain.
Oh, yeah.
And so my dad had just got done finishing an addition at the house on Westgate Place. I mean, big addition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when did that first ones went in? The late 57, 56?
My dad built it in 59.
59, okay.
Then he put the big addition on, his second or third addition.
Yeah.
It got done in the summer of 67. And so the flood hits. It's going to hit. And dad grabs us all, and you know, all of a sudden it's coming. Everyone has about 5 hours to notice that there's a flood. So he brings us down to the Gold Nugget Motel. He finished that, you know, when we're in first grade, 66. Oh, he finished that. So we're there, and no one expected what was going to happen.
No.
At all. And, I mean, the town has got, you know, 3 feet.
Yeah.
Through the whole town. And then our house was so damaged. I literally became a refugee for a year. You know, I went to Seattle for, you know, my mom and my brother Danny were in Seattle. Danny was going through different allergy tests, you know, allergies. So he's down there with my mom. So we, you know, my dad sends us out down there. He gets us to the airport, you know, in a big old, you know, flatbed truck. We're going by our old house and we see our shed floating.
Yeah.
So we get out to the airport. We arrive in Seattle and we're there for 2 weeks trying to figure out what we're going to do. Then we go to L.A. for 2 weeks, where my aunt is. Then we go to, and we spend the winter going to school in Phoenix. And so then we come back.
You had it easy, man.
No. We lost the whole year. And what happened was, when I got back, you know, from age 7 to 8, I remember all this. When I got back, half my friends in the neighborhood never came back.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. So many people left.
Yeah, left and didn't come back.
Yeah, just one of those things.
Yeah. Well, interesting.
Yeah, but before you get into it too big, we got another commercial here in a little bit before you stump me again.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you got planned for New Year's?
Oh, whoops. Am I there?
Did I lose? You're on there.
No, you can hear me? Oh, I lost my mic here. Anyway, going out to Chino Hot Springs, we do that every 4th of July.
Oh, going to see Bernie.
Yeah, Bernie's got his wife Moon makes the most beautiful, the best food in the world, and she has a spread out there. We go out there and soak and... we're going to stay the night and watch the fireworks. Just have a good time. I love it out there. It's a wonderful place.
You're on KFAR Radio real fast, and your name is?
Yeah, this is Ray.
Ray, we got about 30 seconds, buddy.
Yeah, there was a fireball Wednesday morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, came down from a real steep trajectory, and it looked like it crashed over on Van Horn Road area. I was at the athletic club when it came down. It was real spectacular.
Oh, like a meteor?
Yeah, probably a meteor or something. Okay.
Well, it wasn't a meteor. I figured it was bright colors. I figured it was a satellite or a rocket from Poker Flats or something.
Russian collusion.
Ray, we got to go, buddy. You take care. Thank you for the phone call. And Fairmix, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be back after a little bit of bumper music, some Fox News, state news, and some commercials.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Republicans of Colorado appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court after the state Supreme Court removed former President Trump's name off the primary ballot. Colorado GOP Chair Dave Williams on Fox and Friends says this is all political.
It's an act of desperation. I think they're afraid that Donald Trump is going to win against Joe Biden. So by hook or by crook, they're doing whatever they can to stop him.
The Secretary of State of Maine has also taken Trump's name off the primary ballot. They argue the former president violated the 14th Amendment section on insurrection in efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Speaking in Davenport, Iowa, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says the lack of immigration control is burdening America's taxpayers.
We cannot have mass migration in this country, whether it was legal or illegal. It's too many people.
A migrant caravan estimated to include about 8,000 people is making its way through southern Mexico this week. They're on the way to the United States. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports at the most recent Anchorage Assembly meeting, Assembly members rejected a recommendation from a citizen panel to rename the Port of Alaska after the late Representative Don Young. The citizen naming panel, assembled more than a year ago to make a recommendation on the name change to the Assembly, unanimously recommended this summer to rename the Port of Alaska as the Don Young Port of Anchorage. The recommendation followed Mayor Dave Bronson's March 2022 proposal to rename the state's largest port after Young, who had died earlier that month at the age of 88. They go through all this work and there were several meetings and then they get all done and all of a sudden the assembly chair can just name it whatever he or she wants? I mean, why have the commission? Bronson questioned in an interview on Wednesday. Right now, the assembly seems torn on what the port should officially be named. Aside from the citizen naming panel recommendation, two other options are being discussed. The assembly voted to indefinitely postpone voting on the renaming of the Port of Alaska.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hello, Alaskans. It's your representative, Mary Peltola, with season's greetings and good tidings for all. This year proved that when Alaskans work together, big things get done. In D.C., NOAA is reviewing bycatch for the first time in over 10 years, and Alaska's congressional delegation introduced a bill to ban poached seafood imports from Russian trawlers. Back on land, Alaska's delegation secured the Willow Oil Project and more than $200 million to strengthen our rail belt energy grid, creating Alaskan jobs and lowering costs. And remember, Alaska's congressional offices can also help you and your family directly, whether you need help with Social Security or veterans benefits, getting a passport, or just dealing with a federal agency. For help, contact my office at 907-921-6575 or visit peltola.house.gov. Happy holidays. I'll keep working to bring big things home for Alaska in 2024. This message is paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Craig Compo in the studio here. We've had a person calling in. Sorry we've missed you, and if you call back, we'll get you on here. So, Mr. C,
yeah.
What are you going to stump me with in trivia this time? Well, what are you going to embarrass me in front of Fairbanks on?
Just a...
Come on, let's hit you.
Not really. This is kind of interesting fact here. This was okay. On Carol Phillips, the guy who started Phillips Field. Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of interesting how he met his wife. They said that when returning from a stateside trip to visit family, he met a Canadian girl, same as my dad, and my dad found in Vancouver, BC, same place my dad met my mom. Because of immigration restrictions, she, Josie, was unable to move to Alaska until 53 when the temperature conveniently dropped to 60 below. But anyway, Carol
Phillips
liked to tell the story that General MacArthur was a factor in him meeting his mom. It says in 52, Truman had fired the general, and his dad stayed a few extra hours in San Francisco to see him drive past the crowds after arriving back in the States. And then that changed his dad's timing enough to be on the same bus as Josie, and that's how he met her. So
wow.
Credits President Truman for that.
Here's something that most people...
Coincidentally, Compos have been in business since Harry Truman was president.
It took you 30 minutes to get a plug in.
Yeah, I always have to get at least one.
That's pretty late on your behalf. Yeah. Here's something about Carol Phillips most people don't realize. Yeah. Anyone who, in Fairbanks in the interior, who plants and harvests apples, apple trees, he was the person who started it, led it, figured it out.
You just cost yourself a point because that was the next question.
Oh, no, I got a point.
Yeah, you're right.
Actually, I get 2 points because I
We had pears and cherries as well.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. You know who's doing that now? Bernie Carl.
Yeah.
I mean, Bernie is working on watermelons, growing watermelons at Chino Hot Springs. It's unbelievable. Have you been in that garden? Mm-hmm. It's amazing. He's got, you know, I love that place. It's so,
where are you going on New Year's?
Chino Hot Springs.
Okay.
I got a quick story. Johnny Hajdukovic told me yesterday he was on the flight from Seattle back with Bernie the other day. And the pilot happened to come on, didn't know Bernie was on the plane. And he said, just going to do a survey. How many of you put your hands up that are coming up to Fairbanks to see the Northern Lights? And, of course, about 25 people put their hand up. He said, okay, well, how many of you are coming up to go to Chino Hot Springs? About 25 people put their hand up. And then Bernie's, of course, yo, Chino Hot Springs, whatever. And so the pilot talked about Chino Hot Springs for a while. Before he got off the plane, Bernie Carl had about a half a dozen business cards with a free room for each flight attendant, the captain, the flight engineer. He handed them out because they got the free promotion, figuring they're going to talk about it every time.
That's Bernie.
That is Bernie. He's very clever that way. But back to Phillips. He had the first commercial venture in Alaska with this product, and he did it from the 60s until about early 80s. What product was he selling? And not apples, but it was a product he grew outside. You know what it was? I had no idea.
You know, there's a plethora of wrong answers I could give.
Yeah.
What is my right answer that I'm going to
give? Birch syrup.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he had the first commercial venture with birch syrup. Yeah.
That's Carol Phillips.
Yeah. Apples, pears, birch syrup, potatoes. He was a big, got into the potato business for quite a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see what else we got here. I think that's pretty much it on the Phillips family. Married for 64 years. Oh, how long was the runway at Phillips Field?
I'm going to say it's a 4,000 foot.
It's 3,600 feet. I'll give you that one. That's within 10%. And let's see. It later became the fur tannery, obviously. I want to talk about that for just a minute. But before I do... Well, we'll kind of mention that. How much water was used to put out the fire of the fur tannery? Now, don't answer in gallons yet. Is it equivalent to the same amount of water used annually by how many Alaskans? 1, 2, or 12?
Go 12.
It's 2.
Oh.
It's 90 gallons a day is what the average Alaskan uses for water, and so that's about 36,000. It was 60,000 gallons of water it took to put that fire out, which is a lot of water. But
that property went down to the ground. And Al, great guy.
Yeah,
part of the laundry house gang here.
He's he's humble, and he just is a lot of people are trying to help Al out. And
this is why we're Fairbanks, Alaska. That property wasn't even smoldering, and you're out there trying to figure out what we're going to do for him. And I'm texting you. What are we doing for Al?
Yeah, I know. Because he does so much for the community. He does.
He does. And he would never ask anything from us.
No, but he's going to get it. He's going to get it.
Whether he likes it or not. We're getting it to
take
you,
this
buddy.
Wheelbarrow full of money.
What are your thoughts?
Well, and Al, it's a tough, that's what he's been doing for years, and Al's the kind of guy that, he dedicates his life to the hunters and fishermen and trappers, and he's on the board of game. He's been on all the ACs. He goes to all the bison meetings. And you don't make money doing that. That's a money loser, and especially when it takes away from your business. And it does. It takes away from his business, so he sacrificed his business. And that's the kind of guy you want to help when you're falling on tough times. So what we're doing, our group, we're going to have some fundraisers. I will tell you right now, for people that know Al and want to help him out now, you can make a donation at AlaskaOutdoorCouncil.org. There's actually a button you can link on for the fur tannery, the Albert. So that'll help, because it's just all of a sudden he's got no income.
Yeah.
Right. And he's lost everything. Yeah. So I don't think there's insurance. And I mean, it's just a bad deal. But he's such a great guy that we want to be able to help him out financially. Now, in that vein, and we'll talk about this Monday, the Laundry House Gang will be in. But we are going to have a big Beast Feast. I got a tentative date at Compos, a tentative right on the river, right on the price.
And what specials are you going to have?
Yeah, yeah. No, we're gonna have a big Beast Feast. We're going to have a bunch of really, Virgil will be involved. We'll have a bunch of good wild game and moose getty and moose chili and whatever. Everybody's going to bring dishes.
Pterodactyl wings.
There you go. I like that. Yeah, yeah, I like that. Wait a minute. How about some fried falcon feet from the Players Building?
You know, Fairbanks, call 911. You're going to hear an assault on the radio.
We won't bring that back up again.
You lying sack of poop.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to have a lot of fun stuff going on. I think it's going to be $50. You know, it's a donation for the meal and everything. But we're going to have a Park Service Ranger dunk tank where you can throw a ball and soak a park ranger. And Biden might even show up for that and sit in the chair. So anyway.
Did you get any senators there?
Yeah, it's going to be packed. It's tentatively, we looked at all the dates. We wanted to do it at the end of January. I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks in February. But we're going to do it the 18th of February. And that will be a Sunday before President's Day, when a lot of people are off work anyway. So it'll probably be like from 3 to 7. This is all tentative, but like I said, for now, go to alaskaoutdoorcouncil.org, and you can donate $20, $200, whatever you can do.
And get pre-loan qualified, because Compo will be having an incredible sale.
Yeah. President's Day sales. Yeah. No, it's great. We're going to donate a used sled, and we're trying to get anybody that, listen, here's what I'd like to say, and we'll talk about this more on Monday. We're trying to get things that are worth about $500 or more, because it's administratively, and we're not going to turn anything away less, but if you know somebody that can afford, or if you can't afford to donate something of $500 or higher as an auction item, we're going to try and do a pre-sale auction online on the AOC page, and then we're going to have some choice stuff at the shop for people to come out and bid on. And 100% of the proceeds is going to go to help our buddy Al Brett.
You know, it's interesting. Some of the things I get to do that people have me do at a moment's notice was at Hi-Pow this year.
Oh, yeah.
And they had me get up and explain, you know, some of the longtime contributors. And the first one I brought up was, of course, Mrs. Hajdukovic.
Yeah.
Then I brought up people here and there and there. Then I focused in on you.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
I said, throughout my life, there's always been a Compo in my life. Got my first skidoo when I was 7 years old or 6 years old, you know. And,
yeah.
And how your parents, from the day that event started in 1969-70, had always given a snow machine.
Yeah.
And how you have always done it. And how you are sort of like a crown jewel of Fairbanks here with your philanthropy and your giving.
And well, we do what we can, and you know.
But you're such an organizer.
Yeah. Well, that's, I do like to, and I like to help people that deserve it. Al Barrett, yep. Urban Rahoy, those kind of people that I just have done so much for the community. How could you not?
Birds hanging out in the Players'
Park. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I do like to poke fun at some people, too. It's all good.
As I said it, you know, to the people on, you know, the newspaper that called me up, I said, you know you've arrived when Craig Compo has punked you.
Yeah. But, of course,
even Senator Murkowski got involved.
Yeah, that was
right. That was a grand conspiracy. That was good.
That was good. And, you know, of course, the most gullible of all people for my tricks, not even close, is Bill Satterberg.
That poor guy.
He's, you know, the other day he asked me, he goes, you got the governor's new phone number, cell phone number? I said, yeah. He goes, give it to me. So I gave him a number that's one of my alternate numbers for a little side business I've got. So I gave him that. And then the next day I started communicating with him. He thought it was the governor. Oh, and I almost got him. He almost did something real stupid, but finally he figured it out. But
Fairbanks, with that, we're going to take our last commercial break of the year, and we'll be back after these messages. And I'm going to say right now, shop at Compost.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Some of the world's finest beer and great food. Silver Gulch offers that and more in the heart of the historic Fox Mining District. Silver Gulch has been brewing our favorite beers for many years, and they apply those same standards of perfection with every meal served. The menu is exciting, creative, and delicious. Silver Gulch Brewery. This is what good is all about. Call 907-452-BREW for reservations. Silver Gulch in historic downtown Fox.
Drinking and driving will change your whole world. Whether you get pulled over or get into a crash, things will never be the same. Getting a sober ride will change your world for the better. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, and the process is 100% online. To start your free online visit, go to hims.com/joy. That's HIMS.com/JOY.
Drinking and driving will change your whole world. Whether you get pulled over or get into a crash, things will never be the same. Getting a sober ride will change your world for the better. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Toyotomi oil heaters have warmed interior Alaska homes for decades. Efficient, quiet, and reliable. Buy yours today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR weather.
Partly cloudy today with daytime highs approaching 18 below. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Slight chance for snow tonight. Lows around 23 below. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies tomorrow, snow likely, daytime highs approaching 4 below. About an inch of snow tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Craig Compo in the studio with me here. But Craig, before we go back to any trivia... You also have the Fairbanks Outdoor Show.
Yes.
What was your Compo's Outdoor Show? Okay. And you are on Saturday at what time?
12:30.
Right before me.
Yeah.
So what was your theme this week?
What did I talk about this week? I usually, what I've been doing is I spend the first 5 or 10 minutes kind of talking about the shop. And then I do, of course, well, it's, you know, promoting the product. I mean, that's what,
well,
that's
yeah,
what
exactly.
You
know,
got to do in the brand and the whatever. But I got into discussions about how screwed up, I do a lot of political stuff. So I talked about on the air about an example of how screwed up this country has become. And the example, see, I'm going to Mexico for a couple of weeks in February. And I had my passport expired in 2020. I don't travel out of the country very much, but I said, oh, I better get it. So
I got to get a new one, too.
It's two months out.
Yeah.
So I went. I made my appointment at the post office. I went to the post office. I paid the extra $230 to expedite it 5 to 7 weeks instead of 6 months or whatever. I get that all done. They staple. Then I had to go over to FedEx. They stapled the photo. I mean, no, they did that at the post office. I had to go get a photo at FedEx, and they staple it. Got it all sent off. First of all, FedEx used the wrong label, so it screwed everything up, and it cost me a couple extra days. Anyway, I sent it off, and I get an email from it's called Rush My Passport. I get an email from them that says, hey, urgent message, you can't have staple holes in your photo. Now, it was nowhere near my mug. It was all on the very order, but FedEx had taken it, unstapled it, and said, no, they don't want it stapled, and just shoved it in the... So I said, great, so what do I got to do? So you got to send a new photo. Yeah. So I sent the new photo, and then I get a message back that says, your eyes aren't completely visible, which is bull. I could clearly see my eyes. So I had to go get another photo and send it out. I'm traveling on the 5th of February. They said, yeah, you should get it on the 2nd or 3rd.
Good luck.
I've got all my plans. I got the reservations made. And then I thought about that. I just got fuming on the way back to the store. I'm thinking, we let how many... Hundreds of thousands of people walk across the border. It costs $151 billion a year out of my tax dollars to pay for these people. $151 billion a year to pay for all the services that we're given. And here they are giving me a hard time because maybe my eyes weren't open wide enough. You ought to see that picture. I'm almost held my eyes open. I was just fuming, my eyes open as big as I can. Anyway, we'll see if I go or not. But, I mean, That's how crazy this stuff has gotten.
That's what he talked about on your outdoor show. Fairbanks,
yeah.
Listen tomorrow at 12 o'clock, 12:30, to the Compo's outdoor show.
Well, I do. I like to talk about politics and just some of the things that we've seen change over our lifetime and the federal overreach. I mean, we talk about it on Laundry House Gang, but it affects you on things like that. When you stop and think about it, wait a minute. Why are they harassing me? I've been paying taxes for 50 years. It's a reissued passport. It's not like I'm a new passport. Come on. And it's like they do it on purpose just to make your life miserable. In the meantime, come on in, all you immigrants. Come on in. And we don't need to bother checking. You don't need an ID to vote. But if I have staple marks in my photo, Dave. Anyway, that's kind of what I talk about is politics. And I bring humor. There's an old radio prankster, as you know, it means a lot to me. R.D. Mercer used to do phone pranks, and I loved those shows. He would call up and do a fake. We listened to him up at our hunting camp. You were up there when we were listening to him at night around the fire. They're just hilarious. How big a boy are you? And I'm going to open up a 55-gallon of whoop-ass and all that. Anyway, it's just hilarious. They really catch people off guard. So I play some of those on the air. I play some of my crazy music. I just have fun with it, and people seem to like it.
Did you do anything about shutting down the Chena for floaters?
No, I forgot all about that one. I'm going to have to write a book about all these practical jokes.
Yeah. I wouldn't, because you have a lot of people want to hurt you.
So here, did I tell you what I think I'm going to do for Satterberg? I think I might have mentioned. Every April 1st, Bill Satterberg, it's his birthday, and so I put a fake story in the Newsminer. And the one I really want to do, I don't know if I'm going to do it or not, but I probably won't, because I'm going to put it on the air right now. He is going to represent somebody that got distracted by the Barnett Street crossing guard. He got distracted and got in an accident, hit an old lady because they were watching him flip this hat. So he's going to sue the crossing guard. Satterberg's going to sue the crossing guard. Oh, here's a guy who volunteers his time.
I'd go up to the school district. Yeah. Ready for a phone call?
Yeah, sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, it's Rick.
Hello, Rick.
Hey. All of these pranks that he's pulled over the year, and all of these political stuff he's ranting and raving about, see, they came back and got you.
That's right. Staples in his car. Yeah. You're right, Rick.
Hey, Rick, if that's all I got, I'm happy, because I keep I got my head over my shoulder all the time.
You got a lot. One guy's looking right at you.
I'm expecting a whole group of people to get
Rick,
even.
Rick, what do you got planned for New Year's?
Nothing. We're all going to be working on something in the shop. That's about it.
Okay, buddy.
I appreciate all the volunteer work that you do, Craig.
Oh.
This is a great community. I tell Babe all the time, I couldn't live. I'm so blessed. I couldn't live in a better community than we have. Politics aside, I mean, I'm not into that stuff.
Yeah.
However, we have, I don't like the EPA stuff, but we have some really wonderful volunteers in this community, from soccer, baseball, football, everything. You name it, arts and crafts, everything.
The typical Fairbanksan, in my view, has three different entities that they volunteer for.
Go to other places.
Yeah.
They don't have as much
as
this.
Yeah.
And we're so blessed. That's why I haven't moved away yet, so.
You got it, buddy.
Thank you very much for your show, and I'm back to listening.
You got it. You have a great weekend.
You know, the thing is, and I hear that a lot of people get that kind of comment. They're generous to the community and whatever. I mean, how do you sleep at night if you're not? I mean, look at this community has supported our business for almost 80 years.
We were raised that way.
Yeah.
With your parents, my parents, and my parents, man, they were involved in so many things for the community. And so that's the way we were raised. You put back in.
I remember we used to go, my dad would take us after work, and he worked he worked hard because he was trying to build ViewCrest, and he's got a couple different jobs, and he's working his butt off. Anyway, we used to, as exhausted as he was, he'd pick us up at night, would take the riverboat to 21-mile Chena Hot Springs Road, put it in, go up a few miles, and have a campfire and whatever. Yeah. And I remember one day there's this couple that was sitting there with their kids on the bank at the landing there. It wasn't much of a landing, but they were just, we had all this food and we were going up the river, and they looked kind of like they didn't have much or whatever.
Yeah.
My folks said, "Hey, you want to go have a campfire with us?" And they said, "What?" And it was like the guy and his wife and maybe four kids, and we packed them all in a boat. We went up there.
they became really close family friends. They talked about it for decades.
Yeah.
They had never had the opportunity to go on a riverboat ride up to a beautiful sandbar and have a big meal, fished and everything. And they were like just happy to be on the edge of a river at the time we saw them. And that kind of thing. I mean, you want to share the experience of Alaska with other people. That, I love taking new people up the river more than anything, because it's just, I never get tired of it, but people are just like, oh, this is beautiful and it's so nice. So anyway, yeah, you got to share your financing or your money when you can, share your experiences, and just the caller was right, Rick was right. You know, I couldn't live anywhere else.
Me neither. But I'm going to go back to my show tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
You know, you're the junior varsity setting my show up.
I'm the lead in.
For success. That's right. That, now, I don't go political. I go food.
I know you do.
And tomorrow is burgers.
Ooh.
Yeah, great burgers. And Fairbanks, from 1 o'clock to 1:30, I went over last night. You know, I do my recording Friday morning at 10 o'clock before this show.
Yeah.
And some time ago, I went over to that Yes Noodle Soup place.
Yeah. Garden Island.
Garden Island. And I talk about the three stores in there. You know, some of the best sandwiches and soups you can get are at Garden Island. But what surprised me is I've been to the Yes place three times, but the last time I was in there, what really surprised me was the burgers that they had.
They have burgers?
Oh, my.
I had no idea.
This is an OMG moment.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Huh.
And they have now they got a special menu just for their burgers and sandwiches.
Oh, I thought it was just noodles.
No. And so I went there last night, and they gave me a special menu. And so I described that on my show and everything that they have.
Hmm.
I was impressed.
Good.
I mean, recommendation. And what I do is I never give a bad recommendation. I just don't talk about the restaurant.
Yeah, right.
Because you never know if it's a bad day, a bad event. I'm just not going to do that.
And I always give every restaurant two chances.
Yeah.
You know, if they screw up twice in a row, I just don't go there again. Yeah.
Yeah. But this was high recommendations. That, you know, another Thai restaurant, number 30.
Yeah.
You know, and right, the next Thai restaurant, the newest one, is the Thai Chef. Right.
Where is that?
It's where the old pizza place used to be. It's in the main building of Garden Island.
Okay.
I mean, so you got, you know, so again, two Thai restaurants right next to each other. Of course, only in Fairbanks it works.
Two out of 37 or whatever.
And you can get an incredible burger.
Huh.
And so then I went to other burger places that you can go get, and we're this very fortunate. You know, a cheeseburger hamburger is American.
It's funny.
And so is barbecue.
Yeah.
You know, and guess what I love both of?
You know, even going back a few years, you can have a place that sells great Mexican food called Flanagan's.
Yeah.
How do you pick that name? Flanagan's for a Mexican restaurant?
Another great place to get a burger, a big one, I mean the Mondo of Mondo, is the El Dorado.
You know, I've only eaten there one time in my life.
You get a burger there, and this is a 2 to 3 day meal.
Wow.
I mean, it is big.
It's good?
It's 3/4 of a pound. Wow. That's where you start.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so anyway.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, if you can get Mexican food at Flanagan's.
Yeah.
Only in Fairbanks, Alaska.
My favorite two is still Pagodas and Bobby's. Those are still my favorite two.
I brought up Bobby's. You know, they're bar top special. Great place to get a burger. Great place.
Yeah.
And I also talked about their ambiance, Rena, Bobby, service.
And as much as I'm a sports fan, it's so nice not having TVs everywhere
exactly.
When you go in there. You know why? You got to talk to the person next to you, and you want to talk to the person next
to
you. Rick and Betty and whoever, it's just kind of fun to listen to stories and tell jokes. And I don't know, I love the place.
We got to go, my friend. Happy New Year to you.
All right. Happy New Year, Dave.
I could close out the year with you. Don't get a big head.
All right.
Fairbanks, you have a great New Year's. Please be safe, and I'll see you next year.